Genesis 50, reading from verse number 22, and the Bible said, and Joseph dwelt in Egypt, he and his father's house, and Joseph lived 110 years. And Joseph saw Ephraim's children of the third generation, the children also of Machir, the son of Manasseh, were brought up upon Joseph's knees. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I die, and God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land unto the land which he swore unto Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And Joseph took an oath of the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones from hence. So Joseph died, being 110 years old, and they embalmed him, and he was put in a coffin in Egypt. I see you living 110 years, just as Joseph lived. Is it possible or is it not possible? So he said to them, we are strangers in Egypt. We came to dwell in Goshen, but we have a prophetic word, and that word was that we shall be carried into our own land, a land that is flowing with milk and honey. And even though I couldn't see it in my time, I am also enforcing, or I'm also prophesying, that God will surely visit you. And when he visits you, he will carry you into the promised land. And when you are going, carry my bones with you when I'm dead. By the time he was speaking, he was alive. But somewhere, somehow, prophetically knew that he may not survive to see that visitation. But he said, look, when God visits you, don't leave my bones in Egypt. I want to be buried into that promised land. Hallelujah. Say amen. And I tell you, I don't know how God visits a person. I don't know how God visits a people. I don't know how God visits a nation. But brother, God visits us in several ways. Hallelujah. And when that visitation comes, you will see the effect, the impact, the import, the manifestation of that visitation. This week, God will visit you. Hallelujah. Say amen. In the book of Exodus, chapter number 13, let's see the manifestation. In the book of Exodus, the next chapter, chapter number 13, reading from verse number 17, chapter 13, reading from verse number 17. And it came to pass, when Pharaoh had let the people go, when Pharaoh, after the massive visitation of God's power on the land of Egypt, and it came to pass, when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war and they return to Egypt. But God led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea. And the children of Israel went up harnessed out of the land of Egypt. And Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for he had strictly sworn the children of Israel, say, God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones away hence with you. Hallelujah. So he spoke it when he was alive. And after his death, God did visit Egypt. Indeed, God did visit the people, protected the Israelites, and brought judgment upon the land of Egypt, and delivered them. And when they were going, they carried the bones of Joseph with them, as he had promise. Make them swear that don't leave me here, because I know that God will manifest his promise that he has made to us, that he will surely plant us on our own land. Say amen. I believe that this week, especially on Saturday, there will be a massive visitation. There will be a visitation of God, because we are going to be here from 6 a.m. in the morning to 6 p.m. in the evening. And my people, clear your schedule. Try and ward off some of these things. Look, there will always be something you will attend. And there are some places, if you do not attend, it will not be full. If you attend to, it will not be full. Say amen. So you can always call, you can always whatever, and make an excuse, because you cannot revisit a visitation. You cannot rewind and say, oh, let's rewind the tape and all that. It is a moment, it is a time. So as we are concluding this week of prayer and fasting, as the prophetic word, look at the men of God we brought. As they are preaching, they are releasing and releasing prayer topics and releasing blessings upon us. Those are the visitations. That is why after these 14 days of fasting, your life is never going to be the same again. Because you cannot finish a fast and still remain the same. After the fast, after the prayers, after the laying on of hands, after the impartation, your life will see a great, massive improvement. This year is going to be a good year for somebody. Can I hear a believing amen? So please clear your schedule. Make an excuse. Tell somebody, we are finishing our fasting this particular Saturday, and I want to be in the presence of God from 6 a.m. in the morning till 6 p.m. in the evening, praying and fasting and finishing what God has done. And brother, you will be visited through the prayers. You'll be visited through the prophetic word. You'll be visited through the laying on of hands, through deliverance, through healings. There shall be a massive visitation. Say, I receive it. When we were finishing the convocation, you know, the convocation is for the general body of Christ. This fast is for us as a church. I remember three sets of couple came to me, and all their wives were heavily, heavily, heavily pregnant. And as I was praying for the couple, I could see fear in the eyes of the women, all the three of them. So I sensed that there was a certain, I don't know, Kato, you are with me, right? Yeah, you are with me. And I could see fear and panic in the eyes of these women. So I gave them a direction. I said, go get that handkerchief. Go get a handkerchief. And they brought it, and I anointed the handkerchief. And I told the husband that for the next 7 days, the oil that you are carrying, anoint that oil. Anoint the handkerchief with the oil and place it on the stomach of your wife for the next 7 days. And I told her, pray this type of prayers and your wife would deliver safely. Because I realized that, well, then I asked the wife, instead they were telling the complication, they want to do cesarean, they want to do this. I said, I could see fear. I said, don't be afraid. You can't come into the atmosphere like this, where there is prayers and still go through whatever. And they laid, they went, and then they did as they were instructed. All the three husbands called me and said, my wife delivered safe and sound. My wife delivered safe and sound. So there was prayers and there was what? Manifestation. Say amen. There are some things that spiritually we take for granted. When there is a declaration from the pulpit that we are doing this, just do your best to be present. Because you may not know. The Bible said that, and Jerusalem did not know or recognize their day of visitation. The Lord God came in the form of a man. And they couldn't recognize him. They didn't know their time of visitation. May you not miss your time of visitation. Say, I hear you. The Bible said, in Psalms number 106, 4 to 5. Psalms number 106, 4 and 5. The Bible said, look at it. Remember me, O Lord, with the favor that thou bearest unto thy people. Oh, visit me with thy word, salvation. That word salvation, that word is rooted, sozo, means deliver me and take me out. Oh, visit me with thy deliverance, with thy healings, with thy breakthrough. This week, after this fast, February, March, April, will be massive breakthroughs for people. Massive door openings, massive favor. After these 14 days, if you are the same, don't fast again. If you are the same after these 14 days, then don't, anytime we are declaring a fast, forget about it. But I know that after this fast, you shall be visited mightily, and you will see the manifestation of the effect of the prayers. Say, I hear you. The Bible said in Jeremiah 27, 21 to 22. Jeremiah 27. This was when God, time will not permit me to give you history of how the Lord sent Judah into bondage with the king of Babylon. And it was said that they took over the whole of Israel because of their iniquities and things. But Jeremiah the prophet came and said, yea, thou sayest the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, concerning the vessels that remain in the house of the Lord and in the house of the king of Judah and of Jerusalem. Hallelujah. They shall be carried to Babylon, and there shall they be until the day I visit them. They will be in bondage until the day I visit them, says the Lord. Then will I bring them up and restore them to this place. Hallelujah. So their bondage was prophesied. Now, if you look at Jeremiah 29, 10 to 19, Jeremiah 29, please write it down. Jeremiah 29, 10 to 19. For thou sayest the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, that means that they were sent into bondage for 70 years, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you in causing you to return to this place, the place of your inheritance. I will visit you. You will be in bondage for 70 years. But after 70 years is accomplished, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you in causing you to return to this place. And this is where he said, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. God hasn't got a bad mind towards you. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Say amen. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. Hallelujah. And ye shall seek me and find me, when ye shall search for me with all your heart. Hallelujah. Praise God. And I will be found of you, saith the Lord. I will turn away your captivity. I will gather you from all the nations, from all the places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord. And I will bring you again into the place whence I caused you to be carried away captive. Praise God. Because ye have said, the Lord has raised us up prophets in Babylon. For know that thou sayest the Lord of the king of king that seated upon the throne of David, and of all the people that dwelleth in this city, and your brethren that are not gone forth with you into captivity. So you see, look at what he said. He said, thou sayest the Lord of hosts, behold, I will send upon them the sword, the famine, and the pestilence, and I will make them like vile figs that cannot be eaten. They are so evil. Verse 18, and I will persecute them with the sword, with the famine, with the pestilence. I will deliver them to be removed to all the kingdoms of the earth, to be a curse, an astonishment, and a hissing, and a reproach among all the nations. He was talking about, first, you people will be in bondage, and I will visit you. How does God visit a person? He visited them and delivered them when the 70 years was accomplished, and restored them on the land. And the kingdoms that punished them, the Lord visited them with a lot of great pestilence. Because I know the thoughts that I think towards you, they are not thoughts of evil. Praise the Lord. Are you there? When the Lord visits, he restores. This year, the Lord will visit somebody here, and the Lord shall restore you to your former glory. There are people who have seen great things before. There are people who have been blessed before. But during this pandemic, businesses went down, things went down, issues, whatever, people closed down. There are people who closed down their businesses during this pandemic. But God will visit you this week, and you shall be restored. Your restaurant shall be restored. Your business shall be restored. I am prophesying as a prophet of God in this house, saying that God will surely visit you. Hands will be laid on you. Words will be spoken. You shall be brought back to your former glory. You shall be brought back to your former glory. And anybody who has played a role to your demise, anybody who orchestrated sorcery and divineness to bring you down, the Lord will visit him also. The Lord will visit her also. And the Lord said, I know the thoughts that I have towards you. They are not thoughts of evil, but they are thoughts of peace to bring you to an expected end. Your end shall not be shameful. Your end shall not be disgraceful. Your end shall not be laughter. People will not laugh at you. People will come and laugh with you. Am I talking to somebody here? There is no way you can be in this house. There is no way you can be in this house under 14 days of prayer, under the leadership of the man of God and the men of God in this house, with the prophetic word we have received, and still end up down. You shall be blessed. You will not be a beggar. You will not be a proverb and a byword. You shall not be a disgrace on the street of Accra. You will not go to friends asking them that you don't have what to eat. It shall not be so. But my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Who am I talking to this morning here? The Lord shall surely visit you. God's visitation brings restoration. God's visitation brings healing. God's visitation brings breakthroughs. God's visitation, the effect of the visitation brings open heavens. The effect of the visitation brings open heavens and open doors. That is why after these 14 days, your doors shall be opened unto you. Gates shall be opened unto you. The heavens shall be opened unto you. The business deal shall go through. You will win the court case. You have a case, but it looks as if it is going against you. But after the visitation this week, that is why if I were you this week, I would plunk myself in the house of God. If I were you this week, I would take it seriously and fast. If I were you this week, I would not joke with God, because there is an impending visitation. And don't be left out. Don't let outdooring or somebody's 40th birthday, somebody's whatever, baptism and confirmation and first communion somewhere, take you away from your time of what? Visitation. This is your time. It is called your Kairos moment. Your divine timing. Tell somebody, I will not miss this week. The prayers, the fast. You know, sometimes the nature of your work people who work in airlines, people who work in parliament, people who work in certain offices. Your time does not suit you to be present. But there is a way you can also connect. That is why we thank God for technology. As soon as it is 6:30, just go on CEMTV online. Go on YouTube or Facebook. It's live. So as you are working, you are also praying. As you are working, also pray. I was in Kumasi I was in Kumasi on Friday. Yeah, and there's no night flight to Kumasi. And my preaching was at 1 a.m. at an all night. I had to leave with the last flight. When I go to Kumasi with the last flight, they picked me up. They took me to my hotel. Once I entered my hotel, straight away I went online. Apostle was leading the prayers. I followed the prayers. The Pastor Stanley took over and did worship. I followed the worship. I worshiped with him. And everything. And then the prophet, the Pastor Andor's son, young guy, came into the microphone. Hey, started prophesying. Mentioned some people and all that. Then the man of God took over. I followed all and I finished. I was, how many miles is from here to Kumasi? The 270 kilometers, I don't know. So many. It is 30 minutes flight, but several kilometers. I was away. I was not physically present, but I was connected by technology. So that you don't miss out on your time of what? Visitation. Can I hear somebody? Genesis 18, verse number 9:10. Genesis 18. The verse 9. And they said unto him, where is Sarah thy wife? And he said, behold, in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. Another version says, I will certainly visit you according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son, and Sarah hid it in the tent door which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and he ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? And the Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of surety bear a child which I am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? Is anything too hard? I have literally taken this verse of scripture personally. That in my life, there is nothing that is too hard for the Lord. Amen. Yes, I'm not looking at this from the scripture point of view. I see it as a rhema. God is talking to me. Because the type of things I want to do, they are very difficult, expensive, to take a billionaire to come and help me. But I've told myself, is anything too hard for the Lord to do? Yes. I want 2,000, I'm believing God for 2,000 acres of land to build 9,000 homes, to house 69,000 families, including hospitals, recreation centers, including schools. I am building a whole village, and it's going to cost me hundreds of millions of dollars. And here am I. I don't want to go there. I don't have what it takes to even purchase the land. But I have taken this scripture. Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, God will visit me and he will do to me what he has said in his word. Because the vision giver is the vision orchestrator. If he gave you a vision, if he gave you a dream, if you perceive a dream, if you get a prophetic word, then he, God, has the capacity, has the knowledge, the know-how, the technicalities, the connector.
He will be the connector of your connection. The connector. Helen. Say amen. So whenever you are thinking of the how, remove the impossibility from your head. When I look at the offerings that come into our envelopes, and I look at the Pochrome project, and they're giving me, the QS are giving me the estimate. Last week, our architect came and gave us the work schedule. The work that if you, the Reverend, if you have to be at Pochrome 2023, then this is the work schedule you must follow. This is the pattern you must follow. If you follow this, a small girl be in this church, and the architect came to our office. A tiny girl, very smart girl, said, if you people say you are going to Pochrome, it's not just saying it to, this is what you must follow. And what we are going to follow is not matching the income. It's far away from the income. It's like you need 1 million Ghana cedis and your income is 250 Ghana cedis a week. But is anything too hard? At the time appointed, the 1st January of 2023, we shall surely be at the Pochrome prayer convocation. It has to do with your faith in the word. Say amen. Is anything too hard? Now look at what he said. Look at what he said. At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Then Sarah denied, saying, I laugh not, for she was afraid. It means that when the time comes, I will not look at the physical structure of Sarah. I will not look at her biological state, the state of her womb, the state. I'm not going to look at, I am God. I created you. I will turn things around and wrap a boy in the womb of Sarah. At the time appointed. Genesis 21, verse 1. Genesis 21, verse 1. Genesis 21. You are in Genesis 12. Genesis 21. And the Lord. Everybody say, and the Lord. Look, at that state, it wasn't a doctor. It wasn't a psychologist. It wasn't a psychiatrist. It wasn't anybody. It wasn't a millionaire. It wasn't your uncle. It wasn't your auntie from Germany. It wasn't a group of people, a group of scientists. But the Lord himself visited Sarah. Baby, I do this and yami obem. Baby, I was a medunu, this and yami obem. So one bemua. If God doesn't come into your case, you know that you cannot do it. Because with man, it is not possible on the surface. But with God, all things are possible. Am I in church or I've gone to a place? With God. Say amen. So lift up your eyes unto the hills. Because that is where your help is coming from. Say amen. I will lift up my eyes to the hills whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord. The Lord which made heaven and earth. He is there. He would not suffer your foot to be moved. Give me my mind. The Lord which keepeth thee, he will not slumber nor sleep. For
The Lord is the shade upon thy right hand, upon thy right hand. O the sunshine of smite by day, nor the moon by night, he shall preserve thy soul, even forevermore.
Part of the preaching, because instead of reading it, instead of reading the psalm, I'm singing it. So the song is not just entertainment, it's part of the preaching. That not some help, all my help will come from the Lord. I will lift up my eyes unto the hills. In the baby, I do not say that it is not possible. The wife of Abraham Donko, they have, like I was saying, on the whatever, they are together. They do everything together. Now one is departed, one is left. Her help will only come from God. It is God what will keep her, that will strengthen her, that will comfort her, that will keep her soul. The Lord shall preserve thy. That is why I'm dedicating this service to my friend. Because the vacuum that is left, it is only God that can fill that vacuum. There is a song that was sung many years ago. I lift up my eyes. I lift up my eyes. I lift up my eyes to the hills of Jerusalem, to the God of Israel. I lift up my eyes. We used to sing it a long time ago. It used to be a quite favorite song. Say amen. So people, look at the next verse. Look at the next verse of that same scripture. Yanni, let's sing that song again one time. I'll be one of these days. Look at the next verse. I'm finishing. And the Lord visited Sarah, as he has said. And the Lord did unto Sarah as he, the Lord, has spoken. It means that you don't know what to do. So he speaks to you and he visits you and he does to you what he, the Lord, has spoken. Not the imagination of somebody. Not what somebody is discussing, but what he, the Lord, has said in his word, I will do. I am God. I will speak. And when I speak, I shall bring it to pass. Say amen. Look at it. The next verse. For Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age, at the set time which God has spoken. At the set time, at the set time of the visitation. Am I in church? Hallelujah. This week, I see God visiting you. And God will do to you this year, after the visitation on between tomorrow up to Saturday, after the Saturday all day, there will be anointing, there will be impartation, there will be healing, there will be deliverance. After that, God will do to you. Some of you, your own will come in 24 hours, 48 hours, the same month, the next 90 days. By the 6th month, you will be laughing all along. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Bible said that, look at the next verse. I love the next verse. The next verse of that scripture. It says, the next verse 3. It says, Abraham called the name of his son that was born unto him, whom Sarah bare to him, Isaac. And Abraham circumcised his son Isaac, being 8 days old, as God had commanded him. And Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born unto him. 100 years. People are 60. People are 40. People, young couple, 35 and whatever. Already there's bojo in your life. You don't know what you are doing. You are giving up. Say amen. Young couple. Then the wife calls, Reverend, talk to your son. I said, what has my son done? 3 weeks, 4 weeks before he has one sex. What's wrong with you? What are you drinking? God strengthen you that you are a young bride. You have sex with your wife once in a month. What's wrong with you? You are not well. Come for prayers. Abraham was 100 years old, still sexually active. An old man. The Lord helped him. Call upon the Lord to help you. Because this is your once a month sex with your wife. No, it's not of God. You are starving somebody's daughter. And every day you are tired. Every day you are a young girl, like you are always tired. You need help. And prayers. I get surprised when I see young bride coming and say, Reverend, talk to your son. May you not happen again. Be happy. Encourage yourself. Seek spiritual help. Seek medical help. Seek advice. Say amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Say amen. So, the next key, I'm going to give you this key in the next 10 minutes. The next key to your manifestation is through offerings, tithes, and first fruits. Through your offerings, through your tithes, and your first fruits. Some people are praying, and it's a very good prayer. Oh Lord, this year is my year of prosperity. This year is my year of financial breakthrough. This year, see, that confession goes with an action. Because there is no way God is going to bless you if you are not a giver to God. There's no way God is going to bless you if you are not a tither. If you do not learn how to bring first fruits, your first and best, the first month of the year. And these three things, these three types of offerings are different. Your offering, that is why you should never come to church and dodge your offering. When you come to church and the offering is already taken, during the second offering, bring the offering you missed. And add your thanksgiving and other. It means that I missed, when I came, they had taken the offering already. I'm late. So you take the pouch and you honor God. Don't say, well, don't feel happy. Am I talking to somebody here? God uses your offerings, your tithes, and your first fruits as a key to your financial blessings. Nehemiah 10, 35 to 37. For that you see the separation of the three. Nehemiah 10, 35 to 37. It says, and to bring the first fruits of our ground and the first fruits of all fruit of all trees year by year. That means it is done every year unto the house of God. Not unto the house of Pastor Stanley. Not unto the house of Pastor Mike or whatever. But unto the house of God, of the Lord. Next verse. Also the firstborn of our sons and of our cattle, as it is written in the law, and the firstlings of our herds and of our flocks, to bring to the house of our God, unto the priest that minister in the house of our God. Verse 37. And that we should bring the first fruits of our dough and our offerings and the fruits of all manner of trees, of wine and of oil, unto the priest, to the chambers of the house of our God, and the tithes of our ground unto the Levite, that the same Levite might have the tithes in all the cities of our village. So you can see that the separation of offerings and tithes and first fruits. It is the key to your financial prosperity. It is the key to your financial prosperity. So dodging tithe, pretending you have given your tithe, pretending you have given offering, is a spiritual indictment to your breakthrough. Your prayers are in vain. I'm telling you, there is nowhere in the Bible, there is nowhere in the world where a person, Helen, a person goes to harvest what he has not sown. There will be no time in this world where a technology is going to come where you don't plant corn, but you go and harvest it at the time. It can never happen. No technology will bring that thing. Bible does not approve it. You want to reap a harvest, you sow your offerings, your time, as the earth remaineth, as the earth, Genesis 8, 22. As the earth remaineth, look at it. As the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest and cold and heat and summer and winter and day and night shall not cease. So there will always be a seed time and harvest. A seed time and harvest. A seed time. So if you are a child of God in the house of God and you don't take joy and pleasure in sowing seeds, you don't take a tenth of your income. You see, tenth of your income is honoring God with the work that he gave you to do over the month. Your first fruit is bringing the firstlings, the first pay, the first harvest, the first chicken, the first cattle, the first of everything, the first and best to the house of God. The first and the best. I know, you see, and it is done year by year. So don't say that this is a trick of the pastors to collect our money. Who wants your money? We need your money for the work of God. I said last week alone, they brought us a bill for electricity in this on this compound. 50,000 ECG. 50 what? 56,000. You see the air conditioning is blowing. It's money. Because it will be like this until whatever, 4 o'clock. Because we finish first service, finish second service, and then restoration service. And the air conditions are like 22 or 23. Big. These are the outdoor units. You see, your house electricity, it goes like this. There's this one. Yeah. Your meter. Go like this. here. Back, 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 back. And they came here. They wanted to close down the place. Say, Reverend, you are owing. Are you there? So your tithes, your offerings, or your first fruit, it does maintenance, pays workers, pays all the cleaners, utilities, water, this. At the same time, we are in construction, we are buying property. So even it is brought to the house of God, it is used for the work of God. And we, the pastors, we are strength givers to the house of God. Because that is my only key to make it financially. I don't joke at all with my giving. Give to the house of God. Give to people. Give to people. Give to people. Support people. My wife is here before God, and I'm not lying. Every day, including yesterday, she's mumbling money to somebody. Every day, like today, when we freeze some service, I know some people will be here. I will see some of my cousins, other people. Once you see them, they flash you. That they are. Papa, I'm around. You know, this is. But it's an opportunity to receive blessing. When you come to church and you give your widow's mite, 2 pence, 1 Ghana cedi. 2 cedis, 5 cedis, as much as God has blessed you. God knows your heart that at this particular moment you don't have it. So what you can give is 3 cedis. And God appreciates it. And he uses your 3 cedis to bless you for you to be able to give 30 cedis. And you give 30 cedis. He uses the 30 cedis to give you 300 cedis. And then he uses the 300 cedis to give you 3,000 Ghana cedis. And before I realize, you are signing the check of 30,000 Ghana. One gentleman came to me and said, this is 30,000 Ghana cedis. This is 50,000. One gentleman came and said, I'm 60 years old today, and this is 60,000 Ghana cedis for the church. I see you doing that more and more. Before you realize, you are signing a check of 1 million Ghana cedis. They'll say, hey, 1 million. Hey, old time, 10 billion. Hey, I'm going to find. No, don't say that. Money, that's why we call it income, is coming from everywhere. So when you come to church, your offerings. When the month ends, your tithe. When the year begins, your first fruit, your first pay. And in this pandemic, it is very difficult. But if in the midst of the difficulty, you are able to do your pay, or whatever you consider as your first fruit, God will look on it as a leverage to give to you what he has promised he will give to you. The blessings of the first fruit. And I'm going to pronounce 15 blessings on the first fruits. Next week, Sunday, is our first fruit Sunday. Say amen. The Bible said in Exodus 34:25, look at it. Thou shalt not offer the blood of my sacrifice with living, neither shall the sacrifice of the feast of the Passover be left unto the morning. The first of the first fruit of thy land, thou shalt bring it unto the house. They are always emphasizing, unto the house of the Lord thy God. Thou shalt not seat a kid in his mother's milk. In other words, once the land yields you, and brings you for that, you bring the first fruit unto the Lord. Deuteronomy 26:9-11. Deuteronomy 26:9-11. Look at it. Deuteronomy 26:9-11. Deuteronomy 26:9-11. And he had brought unto us this place. And he had brought us into this place. And had given us this land. Even a land that floweth with milk and honey. The Lord took them to the land of Canaan. And now behold, I have brought the first fruit of the land. When they got to Canaan and they planted vineyards and orchards and planted and reared cattle, when the cattle delivered the baby and their heads and the land yielded her first corn, he said, then we brought the first harvest to the house of God. which thou, O Lord, hast given me, and thou shalt set it before the Lord thy God, and worship before the Lord thy God. So your first fruit is an act of worship. Say amen. And thou shalt rejoice in every good thing which the Lord thy God hath given unto thee and unto the house, thou and thy Levite, and the stranger that is among you. Hallelujah. Praise God. When thou hast made an end of tithing of all tithe. You see, they've separated the first fruit and the tithe. So your tithe is not your first fruit. Your tithe is the tenth of your income, the tenth of your produce. But the first fruit is the holistic harvest of the firstling, your first pay. And may God help you such a way that when you give your first pay, you have more than enough to live on for the rest of the month. That is where you must come to. Because for most of us as Ghanaians or Africans, we live from hand to mouth. Our pay is not equal to whatever. We earn very small monies. But God will bless you that he will make grace abound to you to all sufficiency. That you will have money. That when you give your first fruit, immediately God goes into action providing for you. Say amen. And you see, God is a very, very good God. When he sees your heart and the way you have taken your 600 Ghana and brought it and brings it to him as your first fruit, immediately angels go into action and begin helping. And begin supplying. May the Lord supply you. Say amen. Lastly, Exodus 22:29. Look at it. Exodus 22:29. Thou shalt not delay to offer the first of thy ripe fruit. Thou shalt not delay. Don't postpone it to June. Don't postpone it. Thou shalt not delay, and of thy firstborn, of thy son, thou shalt give unto me. In other words, bring the firstlings so that your barns, your harvest, your labor shall increase. Proverbs 3:9. Honor me with thy substance, and honor me with the first fruit of all your increase. The next verse. So shall thy barns be filled with a few things. So shall thy barns be filled with what? Plenty. And thy presses shall burst out with new wine. People. God will honor his word as you bring your first and best. Not everybody is able to do it. I remember when they started preaching on first fruit, I said, my first pay, how do I survive? How do I look after my wife? And then one particular year, I gathered courage and brought all with the coins and everything. Since then, I have never missed first fruit again. And I have never lacked. You will not lack in Jesus' name. If you can't do your pay, do what you feel led to do. Don't be forced. We are not putting a yoke upon you. We are teaching you what the scripture says. Now you sit there and say, okay, this is the amount I will consider as my first fruit. Do it to God this coming Sunday. Those of you who don't have faith to do first fruit, do your tithe, your normal tithe. But you don't do offerings much. You don't do tithe at all, let alone first fruit. How do you prosper? How do you break through? How does God bless you? So believe God that this year I will honor the Lord with my substance and the first fruit of my increase. And so shall thy barns be filled. Hallelujah. Are you not clapping with what I'm saying? When you bring your first fruit, these are the 15 blessings. You shall receive increase in supernatural supply. I took this from Pastor Matthew. I heard him teach it. Say amen. Overflow in abundance. May you have overflow in abundance. Blessings on your household. Number one, there should be supernatural supply. overflow of abundance, blessings in your household. Angels will go ahead of you. And the Bible says also that there shall be no miscarriage in your house. Nobody shall miscarry in your house. And also you will live a fruitful life. From today, may you live a fruitful life. When you bring your first fruit and your tithes, the Bible said, your barns will never be empty. God will also favor your cause. May God favor you. You will never decrease if you have first fruit and a tithe. You will never decrease. And you shall be highly esteemed in society. The Lord shall esteem you in society. And God will also protect you and also drive every opposition out of your life. And the Bible says, yeah, the Lord will make you lack nothing. Hallelujah. Never will you borrow, but you also give unto many nations.
Amen.
And the Lord will bless you and you will rest on every side.
Amen.
The blessings of the first fruit. God bless you. I love you all.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.